I'm just going to speak from the heart this morning. I want to speak from the heart. And I want to talk about making an impact. Are you with me this morning? I will be speaking from the heart this morning. I may come down a little bit, just talk to you. But I want to talk from the heart. I want to talk about making an impact. And I'm going to start here, even though I'm going to talk, just talk to you. I'm going to read some scriptures. I'm going to start here in the book of Acts, chapter 4. And I'm going to read just one verse. Now, before I read that, I want to talk to us, you know, the thing that I want to bring to us this morning is just for us to look at our lives. You know, let's consider our lives and see how the, you know, what kind of impact are we making? That's what the this message that I want to talk about is going to be this morning. So I'm just going to read from just one verse from the book of Acts, chapter 10. I'm sorry, I said chapter 4, but I meant chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'm just going to read one verse here in verse 38 of Acts chapter 10. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. So I want to talk about what Jesus did, how he went about doing good. And I want to show some things in the life of Jesus and then challenge ourselves to see if we're making an impact. Now, it's a wonderful thing to come to church on Sunday mornings like this. It's a wonderful thing to be a believer and love the Lord with all your heart and so forth. But God wants us to expand, you know, that relationship to just from being in a silo by ourselves, you know, to see what impact we are making in the community that we are in. You know, so Jesus went about doing good. And you can see how the scripture put this. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So it looks as if the healing of the people was not the doing good, because he put it, you know, to put two different clauses there. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So if the healing of those that were oppressed of the devil were the doing good, there's no need to say doing good and. So what is the good that he did? I mean, what good did he do? I mean, there were several times. I don't want to take a lot of time. Like I said, I just want to talk from the heart. I don't want to take a lot of time reading a lot of scriptures, but I'm going to tell you the stories from the Bible. I may give you some references and different things like that. But there are many things that Jesus did in the Bible. There were people he raised from the dead. You know, there were, you know, broken hearts and different things like that. You know, a mother who had lost somebody. I mean, a daughter who was grievously ill. You know, a centurion whose servant was this and that. People, thousands of people who, after preaching to them, you know, the disciples wanted to send them away. And he said, give them food, give them to eat, and all that. Two sisters that lost a brother who was dead for 4 days, and Jesus brought back to life. And so many things. And there were many times the Bible said that he had compassion. And we saw the woman that he met at the well in John chapter 4, and the impact that he had on her life. I wanted us to take a look at some of the ways that Jesus did these things and then challenge ourselves to see if we are making an impact in the community that we are embedded in. Now, when God gave us this building, we saw the Lord. I saw the Lord for many days, you know, and so forth, wanted the a name. And the Lord gave us the name Phoenix Impact Center. But, you know, the impact, are we really making an impact, you know, in this community that we are embedded in? So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the impact that we should be making in lives wherever we are, in our lives. Now let's take a look at this church, for instance, that we're here. I'm going to start at the church level and then drill it down to the individual level. Like I said, I'm just going to talk. I mean, if this church were to close its doors today, I mean, just fold up, no more, would we really be missed in the community? I mean, how much of a miss would it be if we were no longer here? That's one way of measuring impact. See, one way of measuring impact is, if you left, those of you who are students, if you transferred from your school to another school, yeah, maybe you left, or maybe you graduated from grade school to middle school, or middle school to high school, whatever. You left from one district to another and so forth. Will you be missed? And if you are missed, for what will you be missed? You know, if you left your job, and nobody is indispensable, we know that. You know, but if you were to leave your job or whatever, would people miss you? If you were absent from your job for a few weeks, would people miss you? I'm not talking about the missing of you not doing your job. You know, somebody else can fill your place and do the job. But what kind of impact do you have in the lives of people? When people talk about you, what do they say? I mean, is there any impact? What can they remember of you? Now, you don't need to be a pastor or be a preacher in order to make an impact. Amen? We all can make impact wherever we are. And that's what the Lord called us to do. It is not, God didn't want us to just go through this world and just be a passenger, just passer through. No, He wants us to have an impact. In fact, one of the first few words out of His mouth when He spoke to Adam after the creation was subdue the world. And that's, you know, there's another way you can translate that. It's impose upon the world, you know. So you have to impact the world. You can't just be a passerby. You can't just be a passing through kind of person, you know. If we come to church every Sunday like we do, what impact are we making in the church? If you come here to worship and to serve the Lord, that's great. And if you come here to receive the good word of God, that's great too. But you also come here to give back. Are you giving something back every time you're here? You know, or are you just here to take and to take? You know, so the things I want to talk to us today are just talking and see what we would do. See if we can take a challenge from this. And I want to share some stories of some things that Jesus did in the Bible. You know, they may look like random stories, but they are not. And I'll just talk of some of the stories and see the kind of impact that Jesus made and how He made this kind of impact in the lives of the people. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8. Many of you may know this story, and if you don't know it, I am going to just paraphrase it. This is the first 11 verses of John chapter 8. A story of a woman that was caught in the middle of adultery. And Jesus went out of the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning came again to the temple, and the people brought unto him, as He sat down to teach. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery, and they had set her in the midst. You know, so this woman was caught in the very act. He says, this woman was taken in the adultery in the very act. Well, you notice that they only brought the woman. They didn't bring the man. It takes two to commit adultery. Amen? Amen? Now, where was the man? Well, this was a bunch of men, you know, that, you know, thought they were more righteous than the woman in this particular case. And they said to Jesus, well, you know, Moses commanded us to stone this woman. You know, what would you do? You know, what would you have us do? Doing that, the Bible said they were tempting Him to see what He would say. So they would twist up something about Him. So Jesus stood in the ground, I mean, stooped up in the ground, and wrote with his finger. I don't think Jesus was playing with his hand. Do you? Do you think Jesus was playing with his hand? I don't think he was playing with his hand. I remember the finger of God that wrote on those tables that he gave to Moses. Now, who knows? Maybe he was writing every one of those laws that those people had broken. Maybe he would write their name and write the law that they broke. Because I don't think he was playing with his finger. You know? So, after he wrote a little bit, one by one, maybe they looked at what he wrote and they saw their own guilt and they left. One by one. And Jesus said, well, you know, whoever among you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So he wrote something more on the ground. And the next thing he wrote, he probably wrote the guy's name and what he did. And then he looked and he laughed, you know, and so on. So at the end, the woman was standing in the midst. And Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, well, no man, Lord. And then Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Well, I guarantee you, they wanted that woman crucified. Stoned to death, crucified, done with. Because they didn't bring the man. You know. But, you know, this is how people are. People are so judgmental. I mean, they want to crucify people. They want to kill people. I mean, they're so righteous and everything. You know, I mean, notice that Jesus didn't say to this woman, I'm going to tell you many examples in the Bible today. Jesus didn't say to this woman, there are some cases when he did, but in this particular case, he didn't say anything about, would you like to be born again? Hello, are you still with me? He didn't say, you must be born again. He didn't say that. Now, you know, now, I want us to look at some things, the way that Jesus impacted people's lives in the Bible. And it wasn't every time that he was rushed to say, you must be born again. Well, we know they must be born again. But there are many ways that you can impact people's lives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There are many ways that you can touch people's lives. And Jesus impacted this woman's life by just being forgiving and be kind to her. And say, look, I don't condemn you, but you go. Now, Jesus doesn't condone sin. Let's settle that right now. Jesus never condoned this woman's sin. Because he told her point blank. In another place, he told somebody, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. You know, so Jesus never condoned any sin. You know, but rather than condemning the people, he welcomed them with the grace and forgiveness of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Many other stories in the Bible. John chapter 4. This woman who came to the well. You know. And this woman had had 5 husbands. And the one that she was even living with right now was not even her husband. I mean, if that's not adultery, tell me what it isn't. You know. And Jesus said, well, you know, initially Jesus said, you know, something about water to her. You know, and then she was saying, well, you can't ask water of me. You know, we as Samaritans have nothing to do with the Jews and all that. And Jesus said, well, I tell you something. If you knew who was standing right here asking you of water, you would ask of him and he will give you eternal water. I mean, like water that you will never thirst again. Amen. And this is what I said, come on now. You know, we come here to drink from this well all the time and we still thirst. And our father Abraham that gave us, you know, all these things. And so, yeah, and say all that, you know. Jesus said, finally said to her, look, go call your husband. And she said, well, I don't have any husband. Jesus said, well, I know that because you've had 5 and the one that you have now is not even your own. And the man said, my goodness, this man must be a prophet. And from there she ran. I mean, yes, look at that. I mean, just see how Jesus touched her life. Now, Jesus didn't say, you know, Jesus could have said to her too that, look, you are playing with fire of adultery and you are going to hell. Hello, somebody. He could have said that to her, but he did not. What he did to her was just say, go call your husband. You know, and then she said, well, this and that and so forth. Like, well, that's true. I know you had 5 and you are living with one that's not even yours now. She said, wow, you must be a prophet. I perceive that you are a prophet, this and that. And a few more exchanges and Jesus told her a little something. And then she ran off. and say, come, folks, come see this man that told me everything I ever did. I mean, Messiah can't be any greater than this. And immediately she herself made an impact. Hallelujah. Because there was an impact made on her life, she also made an impact. Now, you know, there was a man that came to Jesus in John chapter 3. Because some of you are thinking, well, of course, Jesus did say you must be born again. Well, yes, I know those scriptures too. But this, in this particular case, this was a religious leader, Nicodemus, that came to Jesus by night. You know, and being a religious leader, you know, he wanted to, you know, probably prove that he knows something, but he wanted to learn something from Jesus. Maybe he was embarrassed, so he came to him in the night and so forth. And, you know, the Bible says here, the same came to Jesus by night, and he said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. In this particular case, Jesus gave it to him point blank. You know, but it wasn't every case that he gave it to them point blank. He gave it to him point blank. Except a man be born again. Told him, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, you know how the story went and so forth. So this is one example where he gave it to him point blank. But he didn't always do that. You know, in the book of John chapter 5, you know, many stories here. This is the story of the man that came to the place where the angel moved the pool, moved the water once every while, and anybody who got in there first was healed. You know, when Jesus came and met this man, all he said to him was that, would thou be made whole? He didn't start by saying, you know, do you believe on the Son of God? And if you believe, you might be made whole. Just wanted to heal the man, you know. And he made an impact in the man's life. He changed his life that day. And of course, the man, he jumped up and so forth. And, you know, his life was changed. Same thing in the book of John chapter 9. You know, the man who was 40 years blind. And they asked Jesus, you know, the people always, remember, you know, people are always quick to be judgmental. So in John chapter 9, when they saw this man who was blind 40 years, you know, from his mother's womb, he was born blind. So the religious people, even some of them were his disciples, came unto Jesus and said, well, this man who was born blind, in their mind, they're thinking, God can't, there's no way that this man could have been born blind except that something, he did something wrong. Or his mother or his father did something wrong. That's why this blindness is upon him. Because that's how people think. People think that, you know, when people are in situations that they must have done something wrong. Or something, you know, evil, you know, has come upon them because of something or whatever. You know, that's how people think. Always judgmental all the time. You know. And Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 3, neither has this man sinned, nor yet his parents. Can somebody say amen? But yet this blindness came upon him. And that's one of the hardest things that I have ever read in this Bible. Jesus himself with his own mouth said it wasn't because of his sins. It wasn't because of his parents' sins. But that the works of God should be made manifest. The works of God be made manifest in him for 40 years. I mean, that's the hardest, one of the hardest things I've ever personally read in this Bible. But that's not my point today. My point today is that Jesus did not focus on whether it was the man's sins that brought him into a situation. Amen. He focused on bringing light into the man's situation. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm in the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I have to make an impact. And Jesus turned around and told his disciples, ye also are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. You must make an impact. Can somebody say amen? Amen. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You don't light a candle and put it under the chair. You cannot make an impact that way. To make an impact, you light a candle and put it on a candle. Like these lights that are up here. They are higher than everybody else. So they can make an impact. Hallelujah. You must make an impact in your life. We are the salt of the earth. And if salt is useless, it has lost its savor, it has no more use to be trodden under. Cast out and trodden under. And we don't want to be trodden under. Amen. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be, you know, the light of the world. Jesus said, look, I'm the light of the world. So anyway, Jesus healed this man, you know. And how did he heal him? He just said to him, go into the pool of Siloam and wash and so forth. He didn't preach any long gospel to him. Just go and wash. And then when the man came and washed and seen, and the man immediately, he made an impact. This man who was born blind, he began to give glory to God. And the Sanhedrin, they're not going to let that go. They called him and said, you were born in sin. Are you going to tell us anything? He said, well, I don't know whether this man can heal or not. They said, give glory to God. This man is a sinner. The man said, oh yeah? Isn't that a wonderful thing that a man like a sinner can open the eyes of the blind? Have we ever heard any such thing? They said, are you going to now teach us, you who were born in sin, cast him out of the temple? So Jesus finally found him and he said, now Jesus is now going to tell him the gospel. But he made an impact on his life force. Amen. Now Jesus now said, believest thou on the Son of God, or the Son of Man, or whatever. And he said, well, who is the Lord that I might believe? Well, you are looking at him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, it's not all the time. I know some of us are eager to get these people into the gospel, into the kingdom of God. But it's not all the time that we have to start out with, except you repent, you are going to hell. Are you still with me? I know some of you may not agree with that. Well, that's okay. You know, I'm the one that's holding the mic today. So I'm going to tell it the way I know it. You know, it's not all the time that we start out with that. Sometimes you just start out by showing a little love. You start out by showing a little concern. You start out by showing some care about the person's life. You touch their lives. You do something for them that changes their life. You know, it could be you pray for them to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, of course. But it could be something else. It could be you shared your meal with them. Maybe they were hungry. You just say, hey, look, I'll get another meal later. You have this. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's how you continue to make an impact. Many stories like this in the Bible. Now, I'm not taken away from direct witnessing about the kingdom of God and coming of the Lord. We know that. But today I'm talking about impact and the ways that we can make an impact. Now, even as a church, what do we do? What are we going to do as a church if today, and I'll tell you something, folks, some of you may not know this. There's a reason why we chose this building and this area of town. You know, it wasn't so we could be in our comfort zone. Hello? When we started this ministry, we started with the homeless people in Central Arizona Shelter Systems, CAS, downtown. For 3.5 years, we were there every Saturday preaching the gospel to them. And that rundown minibus or minivan that you see on the parking lot there, we bought it just for that reason. And we would go there. And we will bring people in. We will go there on Saturday. And then we'll go there on Sunday again with the bus. And then we'll bring them in. You know. And some of these people didn't smell so good when they came to church. Actually, some people didn't appreciate it that we brought stinking people to church. Hello? But I tell you something. All our righteousness are stinking before the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah, all your righteousness are like filthy rags. You know, filthy. And that even reminds me of something else. I don't even want to go there. You know, filthy rags. You know? So, what did we do? We went there. We talked to these people. We showed them the love of Christ. Some of them came in. We bought them food in the morning. Bought them food in the afternoon. We gave some of them clothes. We helped some of them reconcile with their families. Some people, you know, we helped them pay their rent. Or this, a little here, a little there. I mean, we can't solve everybody's problems. But you can make a little light shine wherever you are. Amen. That's right. You know, you just make a little light shine. Make some. One day we went there, you know, and this man said to me, he said, I didn't recognize him. I didn't know he was there the service that the week before. I didn't know he was one of those people we bust to church. Because, I mean, it's different people every day. I mean, every week. So I didn't keep track of them. And you can't build a church around homeless people. You know, because it's a different set of people every day. But we were not thinking about building the church. We were not thinking about the money that we could get from Israel. They can't give you any money. We're just thinking about making an impact. Hallelujah. And so this man says to me, he said, well, you know, and he started telling me something about his own life story, how he was so impressed when he came last week to church And he saw that the church looked like they were all family people. People sitting together and be like a family and so forth. And he had abandoned his family. He ended up in the home, in the street. And he was thinking of making reconciliation with his family. I didn't recognize him at all. You know, but he was saying that coming to church, it was the first time he came, was the previous weekend. Coming to church that weekend made an impact in his life. Can somebody say amen? There was another young man came to church. There was an impact in his life. Many of them, I can't tell you all the stories. There are so many of them. One day, this one came to church. We always tell them, don't bring your, you know, we know you guys smoke this or that and so forth. And don't bring this to church because we got little kids and all these kind of things. You know, we didn't condemn him because they smoked. We know they needed deliverance. You know, but this guy, he brought it anyway. He brought all his joint and so many other things that he smoked. And I wonder sometimes, these homeless people, they don't have money, but yet they have money to buy these drugs. I don't understand it. So anyway, he brought these things. But during the service, there was an impact made in his life. And he came and turned all those things over. Amen. And he gave his life to Christ. Hallelujah. And so people like that, one day a prostitute came. I didn't know she was a prostitute. And those of us who are in the ministry doing these things, they have their own stories. I have mine. You know, you can hear many, many stories from Pastor Peter, Pastor Emmanuel, and some of the other people that used to join us. You know, she came in. And I was there talking to her and so forth like that. She wasn't actually dressed like a prostitute. She was dressed clean. You know, but you know, God gave me something I spoke to her about in her life. And she started crying. When she started crying, you know, I don't even remember today what I said, but I said something that God put in my mind to say. And it touched a nerve in her life. And it wasn't about, are you a prostitute or anything? No, it wasn't anything like that. You know, just something. It was later that I found out she opened her mouth later to say that she was a prostitute and so forth. And I didn't even know that she was a Nigerian. I'm from Nigeria. And, you know, I said, what's your name? And she gave me her name. You know, it didn't sound like Nigerian name. What's your last name? She gave this. And when she gave the last name, I said, well, can you spell it? Because it sounded like a Yoruba name, which I'm from the Yoruba tribe in Nigeria. But she said it in such a funny way. It didn't sound like it at all. And I said, can you spell it? And when she spelled it, I said, oh, that's a Yoruba name. She said, no. She never met her father. She never knew her dad. You know. She gave her life to Christ that day. Amen. And I didn't start out by condemning her and so forth. You know, we just talked to them. You know. And what are you going to do, church, today? If you have some people that are different than you that come to church, what are you going to do? You know, we need to get out from outside our comfort zone and our little silo in order to make more impact for Christ. Amen. If somebody comes to church, I mean, let's say, you know, I mean, I have my ways. You know, I dress a certain way. You know, I like to do a certain thing. So if somebody comes into church differently, dressed a different way, you know, have marks and things all over their body and so forth, and they're all different and everything like you're used to, what you going to do? You going to be scared and run away from them? Or you going to show them the love of Christ? Amen. Amen, somebody. And I'll take the liberty of telling you a story now. You know, of how people make impact and change lives. Those of you who are here when we opened this building, the first service that we had, the first real opening service that we had. How many people were here? Let me see your hands up. When we opened this building, about 3 years ago. Were you here? Okay. We invited a pastor, Eric Bam, of Building God's Way. He came out here and he gave, you know, because Pastor Peter, Pastor Emmanuel, and myself, we had attended a conference that they gave at GCU. And we were impacted by the impact that they themselves were making. And so we invited him to come and speak here. And one of the stories that he gave was how they converted. It's a long story. It's on the internet. You can listen to it yourself. They've got, you know, he showed us the YouTube thing here. You know. One of the things they did was they went to a place. Cut the long story short, they went to this place somewhere in Oregon and bought this hotel. It was called Flamingo Hotel or something like that. It was in a red district place. I mean, full of prostitution, drugs, and crack, and everything. That's what they were doing there. And they brought this place and turned this place into a hotel for Christ. Amen. Amen, somebody. Now, they didn't do it by going there and condemning everybody that was there. you know, they just shared the love of Christ. You know, they took over the hotel, you know, and then, you know, people would pick up the phone and call, and they'd say, well, you know, how you doing? This is the front desk, you know, and then they talked to them a little bit, you know, and then we found out that here and there they started talking to them, you know, and they gave a testimony in that video that 3,000 souls who were coming in and out of that hotel gave their life to Christ over a period of months. And the police sheriff or whatever of that city came out on video. We saw the video and he, you know, spoke and said, you know, we've been trying to clean up this place for years. And this church came in here, they did it in a few months. Hallelujah. Yeah. They didn't go there by you know, condemning everybody. They went there by making an impact. And Pastor Bayan was preaching, Eric Bayan was preaching one morning in the church. They started a little church in the hotel, and all these prostitutes used to come there and so forth like that. You know, you say, well, why are you talking about that this morning? Because God put it in my heart to speak about it. You know, and so they came to the church, and their ringleader was there that day, and she was dressed like, man, something else. And as Pastor Eric was preaching, she got up, you know, and she liked to be loud and everything. So she got up and said, well, you know, Pastor, you know, and such, is it okay if I give an offering or a tithe? Everybody knew that she was in prostitution, you know. And the first time I heard Pastor Eric say that thing, I was thinking about it because immediately scripture came to my heart, because I knew there's a scripture about that that says, you know, thou shalt not bring, you know, the hire of a whore into the house of the Lord. I knew that in my head. Amen? You know, but he didn't even quote that scripture the first time he said that, but immediately the scripture came to him. Somewhere it's in Deuteronomy or something. I couldn't remember, but I knew it. You know, so he said, look, everybody was looking at you. What are you going to do, Pastor? Well, you know, he said, well, you know, I think he prayed a little bit, and, you know, he listened to the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 That's right. You know, because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Yeah. The letter of don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, that's going to kill. That don't give nobody no life, but the Holy Spirit, the compassionate Jesus. So this man, well, he wasn't thinking of all that. He was saying, he was even embarrassed that he's going to be in trouble if he says, well, you know, you can go ahead and put your offering there. He knew he was going to be in trouble with his son, Henry, you know. But he just said, well, you know, whatever. So anyway, I think he just let her do it. To cut a long story short, this lady, because she had such an impact, she was the ringleader of the prostitute ring that was there, you know. She talked to all the others. Yeah, every one of them brought an offering. You know, and as if that wasn't enough, the next day, the next service time, she brought more of the prostitutes, you know, and the pastor started wondering, what is this, you know. So one thing led to another. Now remember, Jesus said, you know, people take it the opposite, but Jesus said it completely differently. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, some people say, I don't give because my heart is not there. No, Jesus said, when you give, your heart will be there. That's what Jesus said. So, these people, when they started giving to the church, and the pastor didn't condemn them, and they would come and they would love on them and, you know, hug them and everything like that, you know, the next thing that happens, something started touching their hearts. And they started giving their lives to Christ. The lady that was their chief, she gave her life to Christ first. And then all of them started giving their lives to Christ. She joined the ministry, became, you know, their secretary and started, you know, doing things. They cleaned up that place. Somebody give a lot of praise in the house this morning. They cleaned up that prostitution ring. What, did they start by saying you're going to hell? No, they didn't say any of that. He probably did something that was controversial, but the Holy Ghost moved on him. Hallelujah. And he impacted lives. And that impact spread, you know, like wildfire. And that place, they cleaned up. There was a woman that used to come there, cheat on her husband and everything. She came to town for business all the time. She went to this hotel to cheat on her husband all the time. You know, when this ministry took over this hotel, you know, she gave her life to Christ. And she confessed her sins and gave her life. And they did it by just loving on her. They didn't come into her face. Now, there are sometimes when some people you have to pull out of the fire. We know that. That sometimes some people, you have to give them the judgment, you know, and so forth like that. But we, you know, well, I'm talking about making an impact in people's lives. And somebody say amen today. How do you make an impact? You can make an impact so many different ways, you know. And when you touch somebody's life like that, you don't know the difference of the impact. I remember in 2018, like I said, I was just talking from the heart today. 2008, I went down to the Philippines to have, and this, I was reminded by the story I just told. I wasn't thinking of it this morning. But the story of this woman I just told, I went down to the Philippines to have a crusade. And, you know, there was one of the nights we had a youth night somewhere. And it was in a place that was infested with gangs and everything like that. So the local pastors, they told us about, yeah, we want to go there. You know, so we went there. We had this, it was a Friday night, and they came out, you know, all these weird-looking young kids and men. And so they came out, you know, geared up in their gang attire and everything, you know. And then I stood there and I preached that day, and I just preached the love of Christ and everything. And then I called the altar call, not a single soul. Not a single person. I've never given an altar call anywhere, a church or anything, that people don't respond to. Especially when we go on the crusade fields, the people troop, you know, in hundreds. And that's a big crowd. And not a single person responded. And I just stood on that stage and I'm like, well, all right. Well, what's going on here? And so, all of a sudden, one young man, he was dressed really crazy, you know, looking really tough and everything. So he steps up to the stage and says something to me. And I'm like, and as he was calling me, one of the guys that was with me on the stage, because, you know, we're speaking through an interpreter and so forth, he said, you know, that's the ringleader of the gangs. You know, I said, oh, he's the ringleader? I said, yeah. So he come up on stage, you know, and I talked to him a little bit and so forth. I don't know what touched his heart that day. I don't know. I can't remember what I preached that day, you know. But he stood there and confessed Christ. And then when he came on stage, this is how people make impact. This is how somebody's life can change somebody else's life. All those kids were there. They were scared of him. That's why nobody responded. But the moment he came on stage, everybody, the whole place trooped down for prayers that night. The whole place. In a minute, there was nobody there. And I was wondering. And this guy came up on stage and gave his life to Christ. I don't know what I said to him. I don't remember, you know. But then all of a sudden, all these guys and gangs and things, they came up and they started curious things that they had on them, that they started giving up and giving their lives to Christ. And this young man who was their ringleader, yeah, you can clap for the Lord Jesus, amen. This young man who was the ringleader, and they told me later on, because I had no idea, they told me later on that, you know, people didn't dare move in that place, because this was all young people who went to the one place where it was just the gang thing. And because they knew he was there, none of them dared do anything. But once he did something, and I found out later on that the guy was serving the Lord, and through him, a lot of people coming to Christ and all the gang and so forth, you know, making an impact. Amen. You can make an impact so many different ways. And you never know whose life you're going to touch. Andrew first findeth his brother Peter. And look at all the great things that Peter did in the Bible. Well, Andrew was the one that found him and brought him to Christ. You know, I mean, you can make an impact so many different ways. And I want to challenge us today. In your workplace, and you young folks, in your schools, in your neighborhoods, wherever you are you making an impact? Are you making a change? Are you loving on the people that God brings you in contact with? You know, and, you know, some of the young people are a little more forgiving in accepting others, not because they understand this thing I'm telling them, just because they don't care. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't care. We should care that people are perishing. You know, that's what I'm talking about. We should care, but we should genuinely show them the love of Christ. Amen. You know, somebody once said, we don't want to know, or we don't care to how much you know unless we know how much you care. You know, we want to show people the love of Christ. Always reach out with a helping hand wherever you are. Now, lastly, in this community that we're embedded in right here, Are we as a church making an impact? Now, the reason that this place was called the building itself, the church ministry is GMI Church, of course. But the reason, the vision then was that, you know, this place was going to be a community center. And was going to be an impact center for the Lord. That will impact people's lives. Now, but if we close the building, right after church today, we're going to close this building. And then we may not open it again until maybe Wednesday night or next Sunday and so forth. You know, how are we impacting the community then? Because we don't have volunteers. How are we impacting the community? A few years back, about 3 years ago or whatever, when we first came into this community, we went with the Phoenix Fire Department. They have a station across the street. We went with the Phoenix Fire Department. How many people remember that we went throughout the neighborhoods installing fire alarms? How many people remember that? Yeah. Impacting the society. You know, that was doing good. That's Jesus. Bible said Jesus went about doing good and healing. Well, healing is one part, but doing good. What kind of good? They didn't really say. So there's all kinds of good that we can do. You know, we can reach out. We can help widows and so forth. If you go on the website, on our website, and read, you know, some of the manifesto that we have there, one of the things that we had out there when we started our division was the above and beyond ministry. Above and beyond. When we go above and beyond the call of duty, when you find neighbors, I mean, widows or whatever in your neighborhood, and you're reaching out to help them, when you're lending a helping hand to somebody that's in need, the Bible says, "He that lendeth." You know, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord, and the Lord will repay you. Amen. When you reach out something for somebody that is less fortunate, you're doing it for the Lord. Now, I'm going to close with this story in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus will tell us about this impact that we made or didn't make in your life. And this message is not just for old people or young people. It's for everybody. No matter who you are, God intends you to be the light. And God intends you to be the salt wherever you are. Praise the Lord. And you should be making an impact. God doesn't want us to be judging people and everything like that. Yes, you can judge their sin because Jesus did that on the cross. But we can love them and show them how they can come to the love of Christ. Amen. Jesus told this wonderful story in Matthew 25. And, you know, they said, and Jesus began to tell them in verse 31 of Matthew 25. He said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all his holy angels before him and so forth, he'll sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, you know, and he shall separate them from, you know, from one another as a shepherd divides the goats from the sheep and so on. And begin to say to those on his right hand and those on his left." What did he say? You know, let's look at some of the things that he said. He said, "Come ye blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry," you know, I was an hunger, you know, this is King James. "I was an hunger and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Making an impact. Can somebody say amen? In none of these things, Jesus didn't say, "Well, you preach to them about me." He didn't say any of that. I'm not saying that that's not useful. I mean, somebody is going to criticize this message. But, you know, I'm telling you that Jesus was talking about the impact that these people made or didn't make in their lives. How many sick people have you visited in the hospital? I remember one time Pastor Emmanuel, Peter, and I were doing the hospital ministry, you know, for a long time. You know, Pastor Emmanuel, I think he's still doing it. Part of his job and other things, extension of it, you know. How many people have you visited in prison? I know Pastor Augustine was doing that for a while. You know, how many people have you seen naked that you gave them clothes to wear? How many people have you seen hungry that you gave them food? Or you just go by and don't care, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, and some of the young folks that we have today, some of you are so wasteful. You waste food, you do everything like that. You don't know there's people that don't even have food. Amen. These people, they said, "Lord, when did we see you? When did we do these things?" And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, amen, you have done it unto me." And somebody understand that? If anything you do for somebody else, When in the back of your mind you are doing it for the Lord, you are doing it for the Lord. And then to the other people, he said, well, these ones, you're going to go into everlasting punishment. And they said, because I was hungry and you didn't give me food. I was thirsty. Now, if Jesus came into this building right now, and you all knew it was Jesus, if you were asking for food, I'm sure you will all give him food. But you see Jesus every day. Hello? That's right. There's homeless people everywhere. You know, when you're doing it for those people, you're doing it for Jesus. Somebody say amen. Right. So we have these ministries that are in the church here. We need volunteers. We need help. You know, we need these things. You know, I don't have time to go because of time. I have to cut it short. But, you know, there's a lot of things in my heart that I want to pour out this morning. I couldn't get to all of it, but I'm going to abbreviate it here. These are the people that didn't do these things that God wanted them to do to other people, to impact other people's lives. They were sent into everlasting punishment. And they were arguing with the Lord. If we would have seen you, we certainly would have ministered unto you. And Jesus said, well, you did too. You had opportunity every day. You saw that blind man that was there by the street. You saw this other person. And you saw that other person that was naked or whatever and all that. You didn't do anything. You didn't do it to them. You didn't do it to me. That's making an impact or not making an impact. Is your life going to make an impact? I want us to stand to our feet this morning. Are you going to make an impact? Even when you come to church, are you going to make an impact? If you are not the preacher, and you are not in the praise team, and you are not, we try to get everybody involved in the church here. Some people are doing reviews, some people are doing the prayer, some people are doing Sunday school, some people are doing this and that. We try to give everybody a chance to get involved and to give back to the ministry or the community or something. You know, but it should go, it should extend beyond church. And when you come to church, are you giving into the service? Some of you young teenagers in the back there, you just sit down, you play, you know, joke around and so forth. Some of you are playing with your phones and so on. Are you making an impact? Are you giving back? When you leave the church, are you giving back? You know, when you leave today, I want you to go with one thing. You know, remember the title of this message, Making an Impact. Can somebody say it with me, Making an Impact. Make an impact wherever you are. And I'm going to pray. I want you to join me in prayer. There's a song we used to sing. It said, make me a channel of blessing today. You know, are you going to be a channel of blessing to somebody? It's not only about preaching the hardcore gospel and telling them they're going to hell if they don't repent. Now, that's good. You know, we need to tell them that too. But we can love on them. Praise the Lord. Especially when you see people, you know, that you disagree with, you know, they don't look like your kind of thing, or, you know, whatever. I don't want to go too deep here this morning. You know, they don't look exactly like you, or they look a bit different. They dress a little bit different, and they act a little bit different, and so forth. Will they still be accepted? Or will you kick them out, you know, because they don't look like you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands, and we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to help us. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. Jesus said it himself, but he conferred the same on us. He said, I am the light of the world. He said that first. And then he said, you know, and when I'm talking about making an impact, I'm not talking about doing it to be seen of men. You know, some people do things just to be seen of men. You know, well, you have your reward. That's what Jesus said. I'm not talking about being seen of men. Whether anybody sees you or doesn't see you, especially when they don't see you, is what I'm talking about. Making an impact wherever you are. But if your light is shining, people will see. You can't be hidden. Because the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that people will see your good works. It cannot be hidden. We're not saying you should do it to be seen, but we're not saying to do it to be hidden either. Just do what you need to do for the Lord. Make an impact. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning. Help everybody to get an understanding of this message. How we may be make a true impact in our neighborhoods and in our church, in our schools, on our workplaces, and even in this community where we are embedded in. Folks, did you know that we should be community leaders? Is this church a community leader in this community? I don't know. You know, there's several churches in this street, but are we community leaders? If something happened in this community, will they be coming here and looking for solution? Will they be looking for an answer. That's making an impact. Father, I pray, Lord, that we may make an impact. And everybody that wants to make that impact, I'm going to ask you to pray this simple prayer with me. I want you to say with me, thank you, Lord, for making me a light in this world, even as you are. Say the prayer. Because Jesus said it. We are the light of the world. It's not bragging. When you say what God says of you, that's not bragging. You are the light of the world, just like Jesus said. And you are the salt of this earth. And you must make a difference in people's lives. You must shine and take away the darkness. You must bring sweetness where there is bitterness in people's lives. Now, so let's pray. Lord, I thank you for making me the light of the world, just like you are. I thank you for putting the attribute of being the salt of the earth in me. And I pray, Lord, that you help me, enable me to do these things. Because you said we should go forth and make an impact in the world. Help me, Lord, let my light shine before men. Pray this prayer along with me as I'm saying it. Let my light shine before men, Lord. Let me be that light that you want me to be. Let me be that salt that you want me to be. Bible says, let your speech be seasoned with salt and the grace that you may know how to answer every man. Let me be like that. Let me be that one person that ministered to the sick. Let me be that person that ministered to those who are, you know, bound or those who are homeless or have nothing to wear, so that I may hear that wonderful commendation from you, that enter into the joy of thy Lord. Father, give us grace to do these things and help us to make an impact. And Lord, even as a church and as a community here, help us to make an impact in the community that we're embedded in. Impact in our individual lives and impact in the community that we're embedded in. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.